Pancho said. Lars is somewhere in the belt by now. You'll never find him. Yes, I will. He tried to kill me. That wasn't my doing, Pancho said. Stavanger slapped a palm on the table, silencing them. I don't care who did what to whom. The past is over and done with. We're here to prevent this kind of thing from happening again. I want an end to this fighting. Sure, Humphrey said easily. I'm willing to stop it. But I want Fuchs's head on a platter. What you want, said Pancho, is total control of the belt and all its resources. Isn't that what you want, too? Humphreys countered. Turning to Yamagata, he added, and you as well? Keeping his face expressionless, Nobuhiko replied, now that you have introduced nanomachine processing to mining the asteroids, there is good economic sense in having one corporation establish a monopoly in the belt. But which corporation? Humphreys asked. The three of them stared at each other. Wait a minute, Stavanger interrupted. You're all forgetting something that's important. They turned toward him. There's more to mining the asteroids than making profits, he said. More involved in this than acquiring power. Humphreys smirked. I can't imagine what it could be. But Pancho's face lit up. It's what Dan Randolph wanted in the first place, back when we made the flight out to the belt in the old star power. And what was that? Nobuhiko asked. To help the people on Earth, said Pancho. Help them recover from the greenhouse glyph. Bring them the raw materials for rebuilding. Bring them the fuels for fusion power generators. That's what Dan started out to do. And that's what you've all lost sight of, said Stavanger. Well, that's our principal market, I agree, Humphreys said. But that doesn't mean, Pancho cut him off. We ought to be selling the ores from the asteroids at the lowest possible price, and the fusion fuels, too. And building more solar power satellites, Stavanger added. To help rebuild Japan, Yamagata murmured. To help rebuild the world, said Pancho. Stavanger smiled gently. And to help expand human habitats on the moon and elsewhere in deep space. We can do that, Pancho agreed eagerly. But not with the three of you cutting each other's throats, Stavanger said. Only one corporation should manage the resources of the belt, Yamagata said firmly. Competition is pointless once nanoprocessing reduces the prices of asteroidal ores. Not ores, Humphreys reminded him. The nanomachines will produce pure metals. And minerals, Pancho added. Humphreys gave her an exaggerated bow of his head. But which corporation will gain the monopoly? Yamagata asked. None of us, said Pancho. What? Humphreys snapped. It's got to be one of us. Nobody else has the capability. Selene does, Pancho said, staring straight at Stavanger. Looking back at her, he admitted, I've been thinking that way, too. Humphreys exploded. If you think you're going to muscle me out of what's rightfully mine, Pancho waved him down. Don't pop your cork, Martin. I know how we can do this and keep our shareholders happy. I don't see how that can be done, Humphreys groused. Nor do I, Nobuhiko added. Grinning, Pancho clasped her hands together and leaned them on the conference table. It's simple. We each sign a contract with Selene for them to operate our asteroid business. We get the profits minus a small percentage to Selene. A manager's fee, said Stavanger. Right, Pancho agreed. Selene manages our operations and sets the market prices for the asteroidal products. The three of us just sit back and collect the profits. Yamagata took in a deep breath. Then, I presume that Selene will set the prices as low as possible. Very likely, Stavanger said. Those people on Earth need the resources. We won't put power trips ahead of the people's needs. Power trips? Humphrey snarled. You'll have all the power. That's right, Stavanger replied amiably. Selene will be the arbiter for the rest of the solar system. No more competition, no more killing, no more war. I don't like it, said Humphreys. Yamagata asked, can Selene be trusted with such power? Can anyone else in this room? Stavanger retorted. A heavy silence fell across the conference table. Finally, Pancho said, I'm willing to try it. On a 5-year time limit. That way, if we're not happy with Selene's performance when the time's up, we don't have to renew the contract. But only if two of the three corporations refuse to renew, said Stavanger. No single corporation can back out of the contract. It will take a majority vote. Agreed, said Pancho. I would like to consult my people back on Earth before agreeing, Yamagata said. I still don't like it, Humphreys grumbled. Come on, Martin. Pancho reached over and shook him slightly by the shoulder. It'll make life a lot easier for you. You'll still be the richest sumbitch in the solar system. All you'll have to do is sit back and pull in the profits. No more worries. No more slaughters, Stavanger said, his face still deadly serious. Regardless of your intentions, Martin, it was your orders that led to the Chrysalis massacre. That would never hold up in a court of law. Don't be too certain of that. War crimes courts can be very harsh. Humphreys leaned back in his chair, his mouth a tight line, his eyes closed. At last he sat up straight and asked Stavanger, "Will you exile me?" Stavanger smiled. "No, I don't think that would be necessary, Martin. You can rebuild your home down below. Besides, I rather think I'd like to have you close by, where I can keep an eye on you." Final adjustments. The 3-second lag in communications between Earth and the Moon did not irritate Nobuhiko Yamagata. He found it useful. It gave him a few moments to think before responding to his father. Saito's face grew solemn when Nobu told him of the tentative agreement they had hammered out. "But this will keep Yamagata from moving back into space operations," the older man complained. "Not entirely," Nobuhiko replied. "We will gain only a small share in the profits from asteroidal mining, true enough, but the price for asteroidal resources will become so low that we will be able to continue our rebuilding programs and invest in new space ventures as well." "Lower our costs," Saito muttered. "I see." In the end, the elder Yamagata agreed that his son's best course was to accept the agreement. By the time Nobuhiko ended his conversation with his father, Saito was already talking about building solar power satellites in orbit about the planet Mercury. "The sunlight is much more intense that close to the sun," he said. "Perhaps I will leave this dreary monastery and lead the Mercury project myself."
Soaked with well-earned perspiration, Martin Humphreys held Tatiana Oparin's naked body close to his own and contemplated his future. "Maybe I won't rebuild the house," he said, gazing up at the darkened ceiling of the hotel bedroom. It sparkled with 1,000 fluorescent flecks of lights, like stars on a summery evening back on Earth. "Not rebuild it?" Tatiana murmured drowsily. "I could go back to Connecticut. That's where my boys are living. The runt's nothing much, but Alex is turning into a real son, just like his father." He laughed at his private joke. "You'd leave the Moon?" "Well, just for a visit, to see the kids. And there's other families still down there. Can't take too much of them." "But you'll still live here at Cellini, won't you?" "Maybe. Maybe not. Hell Crater's an interesting place. Maybe I'll buy into one of the casinos there. Be a playboy instead of a captain of industry. Might make a nice change for me." "You would make an excellent playboy," said Tatiana, snuggling closer to him. Humphreys laughed in the darkness. "Yeah, this is a lot easier than running a corporation," he thought. "Let the others do the work. I'll spend the profits."
Stavanger spent much of his evening sending a long, detailed report to his wife about the peace conference. "I think it could work," he concluded. "I think we can make it work." Edith was on her way back to him, he knew. She had survived the atrocity at Ceres unscathed, physically. Her news coverage, complete with computer graphic simulations of the actual attack, based on her eyewitness description, had been the biggest news event since the greenhouse floods had first struck. There was already talk of a Pulitzer for her. None of that mattered to Stavanger. "Edith's all right," he thought. "She's on her way back. She wasn't hurt. It was an emotional trauma for her, but she wasn't physically harmed. She'll be all right. I'll help her recover."